Behind me is a 17th century slang word. It's called coddywomple. And it means to travel purposely toward as yet unknown destination. I like that. Coddywomple. To travel purposely toward as yet unknown destination. As we look out over the year that is coming this coming week, that's our path, isn't it? We have no idea what's going to happen in 2019, how things will affect us, the joys and tragedies of the year coming. But we are to boldly and purposefully enter the new year. Now, there's many things we can't control, but I'm going to share this morning out of Matthew 6 a couple things that we can control. And so I want you to look down, if you will, at Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. The Lord's Prayer is over at this point, and Jesus chooses to give a commentary on one of the things he mentioned in prayer. He says in verse 14, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Wow, that needs some explanation, does it not? It almost appears as if God's forgiveness of us is conditional on whether we forgive other people. It's a couple verses in the New Testament that you need to understand because the Bible never contradicts itself. It doesn't say one thing in one place and then say a completely different thing. So how do we reconcile this with New Testament grace? And so there's a couple of verses. Go to the next slide. Ephesians 4:32 says this: "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ," notice, "forgave you," past tense. I want you to see another verse out of Ephesians. It's in chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "In him we have redemption." Notice the past tense again. Redemption is not something you're going to get as a believer. It's something you already have. Through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And that is not according to you forgiving someone else, it's according to the riches of his grace. So you have these two verses, sets of verses, that appear as though they contradict Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 6. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 6 and look at this again and see what might Jesus be teaching about forgiveness. Because obviously he would have us forgive one another, forgive the offenses. Well, look back up in verse 11. This is the prayer where this comes to bear. "Give us this day our daily bread." And notice the conjunction. It is added on. It is connected to daily bread. "And forgive us our debts." Notice the connection between the daily bread that we need and the forgiveness of God. Then it says in verse 12, it goes on, "As we also have forgiven our debtors." Forgive us our debts, not because we have forgiven, but as we have also made a practice of forgiving others. What is this? This is an acid wash, if you will, a test. whether we are believers or not believers. Because we who are forgiven make a practice of forgiving others. But if we live in unforgiveness and the lifestyle of that, and are one who hold offenses against everyone around us, it reveals that we are not believers at all, and that our sins are not forgiven. Because we who have been forgiven, forgive. Now, sometimes it takes time. It shouldn't. Sometimes we have bad feelings. Sometimes, appropriately, we put up boundaries around ourselves so those who have hurt us in the past cannot hurt us again. But they don't live in our head because we've forgiven them. Forgiveness means releasing someone from the debt that they owe you and that you need to punish them back somehow. That's forgiveness, a decision. Notice the phrasing in verse 14. For if we forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also, notice, not forgive your trespasses. He will forgive you. There's a difference. There are those who in 2019 will trespass you. They will say things and they will do things and they are wrong in what they do. How are we to forgive them? By understanding that we have been forgiven not by our trespasses that we did against him, but by the very essence of who we were in rebellion against him. You see, when we got saved, there wasn't just a list of things we had done in our life that God wiped clean. He wiped us clean. We were antagonistic against God. We were rebellious to the core. It wasn't a matter with God of spotting the list of stuff. We, at the essence of our life, were rebellious against him. He forgave us, different than forgiving a list of things we've done. That's why at the end of that verse in 14, it doesn't say as God forgives our trespasses. He forgives us in its entirety. And so, based on that, we are those who have the grace to forgive other people. Notice verse 14 again. If you forgive others the list of things they've done against you, your Heavenly Father, it's a revelation that he has forgiven you, not of a list of things. You understand who he's forgiven us for? He's forgiven you in its entirety. Verse 15. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your... Notice it doesn't say you now, it says your trespasses. Because at this end of verse 15, it's not the Christian, it's the lost person. Not forgiven. It's a revelation. It's an acid wash. If you're a person who keep score, man, and you're constantly fighting everyone around you, make sure you're saved. Make sure you're born again. Now again, there are things that happen that take time. Many times shouldn't, but sometimes it does. Sometimes the feelings and emotions of anger toward people will well up. But do those people and do those instances live in your mind and embitter you? If that's the kind of person you are, ask yourself, do I really know Christ as my Savior? Because those who truly know Christ are the first ones who know how to be gentle toward the offenses of other people. Let's go on to another topic that you'll probably be fascinated in verse 16. Something we all want to hear after the holidays, fasting. Don't you love the bulge, Tim, at the gym after the holidays? There's this score of people in January who are just, really, they're kind of there relieving their guilty conscience for a month, and then they might be gone. I know Tim still works with them and hopes they stay out of the year, but we've all overeaten. Let's just talk about fasting. Verse 16. Notice that when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. They wear it on their sleeve. They want to make sure you know how religious they are. They mess their hair up. They look all hungry. It was even said during this time that the Pharisees and scribes would kind of whiten their faces to look pale and weak. So everybody knew how spiritual they were. Be careful of that in all your areas of your Christian life. Don't wear your Christianity so everybody can see it. You know, gee, you look tired today. Well, I spent a lot of time in prayer last night. Man, what's wrong with your eyes? Oh, I've been reading the Bible for 5 years straight, man. Just haven't even put it down. Don't brag and don't boast. Notice what he says. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. And what was the reward? It's what they wanted. The admiration of people. Verse 17. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Look all refreshed. Keep your spiritual life behind the scenes. People will see. They don't need you to tell them. If you're a person of prayer, they'll know it. If you're a spiritual person who loves Christ and he's the priority, and we're going to see how that pans out in just a minute in the next verses, they're going to know it. Don't tell them everything you know about the Bible. When you get into a discussion, don't feel like you have to correct everyone and be the teacher in the room. Because you know, we can become overly pious and try to impress others. And that is not what Christ wants. Wash your face. Anoint your head. Verse 18. That your fasting may, that whatever your discipline is or whatever, however your walk is, may not be seen by others, but by your Father, who is in secret. I love that, don't you? He's in secret. He's in the hidden place. That's where you meet him, isn't it? It could be in the car. It could be in the field. It could be in the woods. It could be in your kitchen. Just you and him. Isn't that beautiful? That's where the nourishment comes. Guard against that religious pride stuff where you're just going to show it off. Notice your Heavenly Father sees, and he will reward you in 1,000 different ways. How does God reward those who meet him in secret and have a real walk with Christ. Have an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. How does he reward that? He rewards that in a million different ways all around you. Your kids know, your family knows, your friends know, your affected people all over the place because they see it. Not because you're showing it. They just see it, that it's real with you. When everybody else is shook up and ready to jump ship, you just kind of stand in the middle and you're calm because Christ has made you calm. People know it. When you walk up on the top of the ship, been out of the Navy too long, I don't even know what they call that. Up in the bridge, the waves are crashing. and the boats are rolling. What do you want to see the captain doing? We're going to die. You want to see his hand steady, a smile, and be all right. That's the calmness Christ gives. And that's what people see. And the reward is the blessing of being used of God. All right, let's go to verse 19. Another thing for the new year, forgiveness of others, developing a secret spiritual life. Notice verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Lay not up is in the aorist tense. It's passive and but it's something that we're doing presently. And it's an ongoing doing thing. And he says, stop doing that. The tendency is to treasure things on this earth, to lay them up, to draw our value from what we have and what we possess and the stuff under the tree. And he says, well, look at verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. What's the problem with that? Where moth and rust destroy, they corrupt, the King James says. And where thieves break in and steal. Now, is there anything wrong with worldly goods? Anything wrong with what you got this Christmas? No. I hope you got all that you wanted. What's wrong is thinking that's valuable and treasuring it above what the value actually is. You know, everything you got this Christmas is going to be old in a couple months, right? It's going to start breaking down. He says, stop valuing life on stuff and treasuring it because it's all going to go south. What you bought this year, you'll have to replace in a couple months, in a year. Notice where thieves break through. The term in the Greek is to dig. Homes back then were built many times just clay, wet and mashed together. And thieves would literally dig into the side of your house. Took them a while to get in there, but that's what they do. That's what they do. What if something was stolen from you? Now, you ought to safeguard it, by all means. What do you value in life? What's your treasure? What is it that could be taken away and you'd just be decimated? Things on this earth have a temporal value. Stop laying them up, he says. Verse 20, contrast, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, how do you do that? I think you know the answer. You value things that are eternal. You value things that cannot grow old and be taken away from you. Like your relationships with each other. Like your relationship with Christ. Like helping other people. You know, we get shook up about the temporal, and sometimes we always miss the eternal. We get so consumed with everything being just right that we're missing the people all around us. I think we have an advantage, we who are growing older, in understanding and seeing the value of slowing down and spending time with our children, our grandchildren, asking them how their life is going. The value of being there for people when they need us to be there for them. And I'm the worst at it. I get a whole line of projects for a day. I get everything in my mind. I'm sitting there with my coffee in the morning. I'm thinking, I'm going to get this done, and I'm going to get that done, and I'm as long as no people interrupt me. And those projects aren't eternal. Who cares if they get done? Well, I kind of do. But it's the people that interrupt our day and our lives that matter. And I have learned to set the project aside. And I don't care who God sends my way that day. They will have my value and they will have my time. We miss it. We miss it because we're playing with toys that are going to get old and rust. Okay? Santa Claus brought me a BB gun this year. I'm so excited about my BB gun. I'm not going to shoot my eye out. Now, my daughter and my daughter-in-law thought it was, they don't think it was for me, but it was for me. But those things, it's not the value of the gun. It's the value of taking time to show Landon and Benny and Lorelai how to shoot, teaching them how to aim. I told Lorelai, I said, the first time a fella picks you up for a date and he wants to know where you want to go, tell him, I want to go to the gun range. I know out in Callahan, that'll impress him. Hey, absolutely. Who shows them how to ride a bike? Who shows them how to do this? Who takes time with them to fish and to hunt? And who takes time taking the young ladies places and spending time? This is the value that we miss because we're too busy playing on the computer screens and the iPads and the latest toy that we have. Jesus said, stop it. Stop it, man. You only got so much life. You only got so much time. And if you're too busy cleaning them up to enjoy them, if you're too busy making sure everything is just perfectly right, rather than getting down on the floor and having fun with them, or turning the TV off, I got to say it, and opening this book. And reading good books about this book. And taking time to really pray for people. Really pray for people. And then when you get done praying for them, you ask them how things going. And let them know, look, I've been praying for you. That's not bragging. That's let them know you love them and you care about them. These are the things that are going to make 2019 valuable to you and I. When we've launched treasures up in heaven where they can't be touched. And where they'll remember you and look back on your life as one who didn't give a flip about stuff. But cared about me. And cared about you and one another. And loved Jesus Christ. Is he valuable to you? Is he valuable to you? Notice verse 21. For where your treasure is, notice you choose where your treasure is. You get to choose that. You know you do. And I suppose the question to ask is, what do you spend time on? Because that's what you're treasuring. And if what you're spending time on, is it really something significant and eternal and needed? You choose what's valuable. And it says when you choose your treasure, that's where your heart is going to be. Where you choose intellect, mindset, where you place your mind on, your heart will become passionate toward. Valuable to you. And if it's something that a man can take away, let it go. Because men will take it away. If it's something that will grow old and you'll cast it aside, don't value it so much. You know? because it's not eternal. Because wherever you value on, your heart is going to follow that value. Give me three things and then we'll close out the service. Forgiveness of others begins when you accept the fact that you rebelled against God and He forgave you everything. Wherever you're bitter and unforgiving toward other people, you think you're better than they are, that you couldn't do that. You know, you have shortcomings. I have shortcomings. That's a kind word, isn't it? I could have made it a worse word. We got stuff about ourselves that's crazy and kooky and stupid. And there's words I want to use I can't use right now. We're all jerks. Come along with me. We're all jerks at times. Stupid. Act stupid, think stupid, make terrible decisions. And yet, man, we'll home in, I can't forgive. Why do you mean you can't forgive? You could have done the very same thing. They're human. You know, when you don't forgive somebody, you take their humanness away? Number two, the reach of our forgiveness, it depends on our understanding of His reach to us. How much can you forgive? Well, how much is He forgiven you for? The reach of that forgiveness. And I'm not saying people haven't done you wrong or hurt you and been in your pocket and stole from you and violated you here and there. But if you don't forgive, you'll be in bondage to that forgiveness and you'll be in a prison. And you're also saying that He hasn't. Well, the reach. You're saying He hasn't reached. Trust me, He's forgiven you of a whole lot more than you'll ever have to forgive anybody else. Because He forgave us for our rebellion against Him. The Bible says we were openly, aggressively rebellious against God. And He put that sin away. It's like if somebody forgave you $1 billion. Let's say you were $1 billion in debt, okay? And somebody offended you and took 20 bucks out of your pocket. What's $20 versus $1 billion? I'm not discounting what they did, but in comparison to God's great, what He forgave you and I of, it's $20 versus $1 billion. Immeasurable. Number three, the lifestyle of unforgiveness. It's a real revelation that you're probably not saved, that you need Christ. Yeah. To live out that life where you're constantly bitter and angry toward people and unforgiving toward them, I'd be very careful and ask myself, do I really know Christ as my Savior? Because Christ says you're not forgiven when you can't forgive other people. 2019, cattywampus. To walk purposely toward an as yet unknown destination. There's a lot of things that will happen to us in 2019 that we can't control. But you know what? I can control my forgiveness of other people. I can control the fact that whatever devotion I give in my Christian life, I don't wear on my sleeve and parade it and try to impress people. And number three, I can choose to treasure the things that are eternal. Because the things that are eternal are your relationships with people. See how it all ties together? Some of you have family members that you need to reconcile with. Some of you have friends you haven't talked to in years because something happened. They live in your mind. And Christ would have us free from all that stuff. We are the only people in all the world that can actually do it. Do you know that? We're the only people that have the grace of God and the life of Jesus Christ and the power of his life to make a decision to forgive other people on a constant basis, no matter what they've done to us. 2019, you can't control a lot, but you can control those things. And when you control those things, things change all around you. They absolutely do.